Through the valley of this life I have wandered, and I've worked for Jesus all along the way. But life's evening sun for me is slowly setting. Lord, I've reached the ending of my way. Lord, I've been faithful in the service you have given, and the harvest of the fields, Lord, I have done. But now my steps are growing weary. Lord, I'm waiting, I'm ready to go home. Looking back upon this life I've lived for Jesus, I can see how he has led me all the way. And the tears I've shed just to keep me humble. And it's churning and only taught me how to pray. Lord, I've been faithful in the service you have given. And the harvest of the fields, Lord, I have done. But now my steps are growing weary. Lord, I'm awaiting and ready to go home. Though I hate to leave so many friends behind me, and the parting of the way may touch my heart, but I'll wait for them inside the gates of heaven, where the children of God shall never part. Lord, I've been faithful in the service you have given, and the harvest of the peace, Lord, I have done. But now my steps are growing weary. Lord, I'm awaiting, I'm ready to go home. Looking back upon this life I've lived for Jesus, I can see how he has helped me all the way. And the tears I've shed just to keep me humble. And his burden only taught me how to pray. Lord, I've been faithful in the service you have given, and the harvest of the field, Lord, I have done. But now my steps are growing weary. Lord, I'm awaiting, I'm ready to go home. I've had many tears of sorrow. I had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've been a lot of places, I've seen a lot of faces, and there have been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank Him for the mountains, I thank Him for the valleys, I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. But if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Yes, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I just come into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing. Though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, this test he must face. It is here that God will mold you, make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Now I'm standing on a mountain, looking back I can see, when I was in that lowest valley, His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunrise, in duty sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing, oh, the grace He gives to me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. The anchor hold, though the ship's been battered. The anchor hold, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor hold, in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees, as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds, in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds. seals are tore. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home.
Well, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. That's quite something. It appeared to everybody, one way or another. The grace of God has appeared to everybody. It trains us to reject godly ways and worldly desires, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly in this present world. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. But there's no excuse for nobody. It's the grace of God has appeared to all men. No matter what race or color or everything. That's what the Bible says. The grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. But it teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It comes out the best in German. Then as this Sashin and the High Samic Night of God is Ali mentioned. Aber und sie sichtiget uns, dass wir sollen verleugnen, und das ungöttliche Wesen, die weltliche Listen, und sichtige Rechte Gott zu leben in dieser Welt. That's what the grace of God does. It's not the grace of God that you go lock yourself up in a compound or in a community or something like that. Because Jesus prayed before he went to the crucifixion. He prayed as he said, Father, I pray that you send them into the world. I pray not that you will take them out of the world, but I pray that you'll send them into the world, but keep them from evil. That's what he's meaning here. The grace of God has appeared to everybody. It's not like people say the grace of God will take us to heaven. We come there because of our grace and mercy. Now, the grace and the mercy, what it does, like it does with you and I, it moves on us, it ties us, it teaches us, it begs with us, it pleads with us that we should deny ungodliness and ungodly living. That's what the grace of God does. Each one of us, we're living in this day in a high-risk danger zone, this body that we're living in. And you got to come to grips and to the understanding that the number one enemy is we ourselves and I, is the body that we're living in. It's always warring against. The flesh will never do nothing godly for you. It'll always pull you out of left field if you let it. That's why we do what we're doing. That's why we're crucifying the flesh. We're trying our level best to come against the worldliness and with the fleshly desires. That's exactly what it says here. For the grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation to all people, everybody in the face of the earth. We've run into a lot of people, and we can see how they start up for a little bit, and then after a while the going gets a little tough, and they kind of pack it in. They're looking for a different, and they get to join some kind of religion and go to some kind of a church where they'll tickle their ears, and they don't have to do anything about their salvation. But it says it trains us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present world. That's the battle that we have. It's just that simple. There's no use trying to go tell people that we're going to go to heaven just because of His grace and mercy. No, you're going to go to heaven if you do exactly what it says here. It trains us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present earth. And that's the battle that you and I have. We got, like everybody else, would have that same battle, but see, they've been brainwashed to think, and all I gotta do is live in the commune and go to this baptism rigmarole, and I got my ticket to glory. But that's not the truth. As we're telling people the truth, it's the grace of God that's what directs us, it pleads with us, it beckons with us. If it was that easy, I wouldn't have to fight every day. I've got to fight against the natural man every day. That's why we do what we're doing. That's why we get up so they can, in the morning, early in the morning. That's why we pray in the day. That's why we sing in the day. These songs, they really are just not a prayer. And that's why we do it, to keep our limbs from trimmed and burned, so we're walking in the Spirit, so that we would not be allowed to for the flesh to drag us down in the gutter. Because every chance he gets, if you just become lax and kind of let yourself drift away, believe you me, the devil is always there waiting for a loophole to get in. And the devil, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour, like a dirty old rat. He's looking for a little bit of a crack to get in and mess things up. That's the devil for you. And that's why you have to keep your limbs all trimmed and burning. You got to put in some effort. You got to do some effort to try to keep your weight down, because Jesus said, beware that any time your heart be overcharged with eating and drinking. These are very, very serious warnings that the Lord gave us to abide by. We're just putting it out. We're just putting the truth out. That's all we're doing. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, and for the many things that you do for us, Lord, just to numerous dimensions. Help us, Lord, that we never take life for granted, that you never take it for granted what you've been doing with us in the last, practically all our lives, how you beckoned us, how you pleaded with us to forgive, to deny the world, the things of this world, Lord. We just pray to continue to do it as you see fit, Lord. Lead and guide us by your Spirit, Lord. We just pray to get that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's actually a very simple program that God has. Mm-hmm. It's not, nobody can have, there's no excuse for nobody. It's mm-hmm. just that the devil's out there with his brainwashing sessions, his brainwashing program. He's religionists, you know. They twist the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Early on in the early church, they came in. The devil is interested in to mess things up with. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus said. That's why the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, mm-hmm. because the devil, your adversary, he goes around seeking whom he may devour." And Jesus gave us warnings along the way. You can go back and he said, "The deception of such magnitude that even the very elect would be deceived. It would be possible. He'd have had us down in the gutter time and time and time again. But see, we're sober. We're vigilant. We're on top of it. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices and the tactics. Because mm-hmm. he's got a million and one tactics. And he'll use whatever he can get his hands on. He mm-hmm. will use your family. He use your people that are close to your heart. And then he'll use them to throw you a curveball, just like he did with back in the days of Jesus. Peter told him, come on, Shawnee dinosaurs, don't go up there. And Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan, because you have no interest in the things of God. And to this day, that's the battle we put up with. And let's see, we got the scripture. We have no excuse, because God has given us a ministry in these closing days of time. Here in the church, he gave us that prophetic ministry, that ministry of William Branham. And we spend all our lives looking for it, because we know there's something out there somewhere, because we had a man come to our house, give his testimony, had an out-of-the-body experience. A lot of people want to know what happens when you go in the regions beyond. Well, he did go to the regions beyond, and he realized all of a sudden that that Hunterite thing is nothing but the weapon of Satan's weaponry of mad deception. And then that kind of, I already knew that Hunterite thing wasn't it. But when he had a lot of the body experience, and he camp went around from colony to colony to give his testimony, and I heard him. I was sitting right there in that little room where he gave his testimony. And I really know for sure everything that I've been doing here in this colony, it's all in vain. All it is a way of life. Just like anything else. Just like the Catholic. They got this church and this Catholic church, and they think they're going to heaven because they're in the Catholic faith. No, it's a lie. Mm-hmm. Deception. That man came and told us that's all it is deception. And so he said, then that caused me to go on this search, and I found it right at the ministry of Brother Branham, and we're making it easy for people. If you're out there, you're searching. This is where it's at. It's the ministry of Brother Branham. As once I come to it, I begin to realize, and all of a sudden, the scriptures begin to open up. And then I know exactly what Jesus meant when he said, this is going to be eternal life. Once I get off the scene, once I go up to the seat of mercy, once I get resurrection, I go to heaven. This is then going to be eternal life, that they believe in them, and I will send. I'm going to send seven angels throughout the Greasy. It's just that simple. And then all we got to do is come in underneath and sit underneath these seven angels. Each church age had an angelic minister. And we happen to be here in the church age of Laodicea. And then our church age messenger was that angel. And then that angel took the vocal cord of Brother Branham. And then when he was done, he took the vocal cord of Brother Jackson to continue on with the program. See, we know that. And then once we know that, then in order to have eternal life, it doesn't say this is going to be eternal life, that you join some kind of a commune or use some kind of a dress code. No, this is eternal life, that they believe on them of my will send. And like I say, here in the church here to Laodicea, he sent Brother Branham and then Brother Jack, and they did the heavy lifting. You know, we're not bringing up something new. We're just continuing holding on to the fort and keeping things alive, because you will not find nobody out there on the YouTubers and all that, because I sometimes go check them. There's not one person that's going to say anything about Malachi 4, God sent that prophet. You could go and ask. I think you did that yesterday. You went to ask that, what was it that you asked on the phone? You can ask Cropper, this thing.
Something like AI.
Yeah, you can ask the AI. The AI won't even tell you about the prophet, because he don't know about it. Mm-hmm. We're the only two people that are keeping this thing alive, and then we're adding on to the things that we know, because God did send in the Hutterite nation. He sent in amongst us a very important person. And when I thought he was important, he was that Joe Mandel before Sterling Colley. He tried all his life to live a godly life. I know. I work with him, and I keep saying it over and over again, because the only thing that matters is what we're saying here. We know what Laodicea is all about. In the days of the voice, it's all Brother Branham. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. That's the only thing we concern ourselves about. Here in the church, it's the ministry of Brother Branham and the ministry of Brother Jackson. Then we're just holding on to the fort. We're just holding on to the things that have been established in the 20th century. And that's the only thing that's worth talking about. We can't find nothing worth talking about. All these donkeys out there, all these swaggerts and all these Benny Hens and all these Billy Grahams and all these evangelists out there, they're just there to muddy up the picture so you never find the real thing. But see, I kept searching and longing, and I wanted some answers that will satisfy that hunger in my soul as a deer panted for water. So was my soul thirsting for something that's real. And here we're putting it out there on a day-to-day basis, because that's the only thing that we're talking about. That's the only thing that we have to continue on with. And then God gave us the responsibility to continue on with the program and to make sure that this thing is kept alive. This thing about Brother Branham, he was the church messenger. This thing about Brother Jackson to keep it alive. And then this thing about that man that had the body experience. We just keep these things alive because it's really the only thing that we're talking about. Everything else is just trash. Everything else is just Satan's weaponry to deceive you. That's what, exactly what Jesus said when he said, when he was asked what's going to be in the end time, he said deception. In fact, he said deception of such magnitude that'll deceive the very elect. For the false Christ, false anointed ones, false teachers, false prophets, all that we're surrounded with here now in these closing days of time, and we have a sure thing that we can anchor ourselves down the anchor holes, and we anchor ourselves down in the things that have been given to the church of Laodicea. Just that simple. That's why I say the grace of God has appeared unto all men, and then we're putting it out there on a day-to-day basis, and you'll have no excuse, because the grace of God has appeared to all men. But it doesn't do what a lot of people say. Oh, you just join a commune, or you just, that's what they tell the people, and they're convinced, and then they just don't have to do nothing about their salvation. They just sit back, oh, it's the grace of God, the mercy and the grace of God, we'll see to it that I'm going to be in a good place over there. No, the grace of God is moving on us, enticing with us, and beckoning with us, and pleading with us, and that we should live a godly life. I know for myself. I know what I have to go through in life to keep you on board. It's a 24/7 battle, and it's not the way a lot of people think. Just join a commune and you can let yourself go. You can eat and drink to your heart's desire, and then you go at the end of the day, because you live in the commune, and you got a ticket to glory. In fact, they're so convinced. I try to witness to my brother John. he tried to tell me, in the colony, everybody's a Christian. You know, everybody's going to heaven in the colony. See, that's how deceived people are. We're just setting the record straight. God has given you and I the responsibility to tell people the truth. It's just that simple.
Like I was saying, by His grace and mercy, we're going to come before God. We're going to get into heaven. See, that's not what the scripture says. Because when you will go to Philippians, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if it's just by grace and mercy, why would it say to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Because there are many voices that go out, like even back in John's day already, like John was on the island of Patmos at 96 AD, so he was still alive in 96. And he wrote, beloved, there believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Mm-hmm. So in that age already, in the early church, there were many false prophets that have gone out in the world. And that's where a lot of these false teaching came in. And Irenaeus, like Paul, was the first church age messenger of Ephesus. And then there was, and he too said, grievous wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. And then Irenaeus came on the scene. He was around the scene about 125 AD to 130. He was born around that era. And then he was the second church age messenger to the church age of Smyrna. And there was, his ministry was very much about combating heresies. There were so many false teachings already in that century that you'd be surprised. People think that that's not possible, but it is possible how fast that Antichrist spirit was able to infiltrate. Like Paul said, many grievous wolves will come and not sparing the flock, and they'll rise out from amongst the congregation. That's what exactly what it says. And Irenaeus, like I said, there were so many false teachings already there that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that it was God. Jesus didn't really resurrect because flesh doesn't resurrect. So there were so many false teachings out there already. And that's the same way all through the centuries. That's why it says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then the grace of God has appeared unto all men. It has. But it's up to us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. If we don't, then you believe every voice that goes out. Like John said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. And a spirit that tells you that by grace and mercy we're going to stand before God, but that's not right. Because you have to work out your own salvation. Mm-hmm. And just believing every voice that comes out there is not working out your own salvation. You have to take it to the Word of God. That's that song said, through it all, I've learned to depend upon your Word. And that's the only thing that will get us to a place where we actually get to know God, is getting to know His Word. Mm-hmm. And the word for our day was God sent a prophet. And that prophet restored the truths that were lost. Like when you will go down through the centuries, like I said already, in 100 A.D., you could see how there was perverters, many voices gone out. Mm-hmm. And then you can see throughout the century, but Brother Branham was sent, the prophet to this age, that Malachi prophet, the spirit of Elijah, to turn our hearts back to the faith of the early church there, to what the early church stood for, because those voices had infiltrated everything and those lies, and he was sent as a prophet to turn us back to that faith, to what is true. That's why if you work out your own salvation, you will come to that understanding and that realization that God sent the prophet.
Mm-hmm. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. We're just following the trance. He did the heavy lifting. Brother Branham, he went through horrible times. And a tough time. He went so much, even wanted to commit suicide. He lost his young wife. He lost his little girl. There simply because the Lord was trying to teach him something. He refused, and he went and did things that he had not to have done, and then God had to yank him back into reality in the sand. Then with Brother Jackson, he was out there farming away. The Lord was trying to get his attention. He ended up on the highway with a wreck and barely made it through. All he could see is ended up in the hospital for quite a while to get back in shape again. And then when he come out of it, he knew what God had called him to do. And the same with you and I broke my left foot and you broke your right foot simply because the Lord was trying to get his attention. He has a work for us to do. And once that happened, I didn't care what they do to me. I knew the Lord was dealing with me a long time. For 2 years, he was trying to prepare me to go up and bell that cat and expose that Hutterite system for what it is. And I tried to get out of it. I tried to fight for 2 years. And then finally, the Lord came down and he got my attention. And I knew what my job was. I knew what my commission was. I want you to go up, and I want you to expose that Hutterite thing for what it is, that religion for what it is. Already, by that time, I already knew that it's not real. It's just because that man came to our house and let us know that it's not real. And then somebody has to go up and bell that cat because the corruption was of such magnitude, and my father-in-law, he happened to be the J.K.'s right-hand man. He was the man that was that J.K. guy did his dirty work. To get if there's a problem in the church, he sent him in there to get the job done. And he's the one that I had to go and tell. He had to tell him what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. And to warn him, just like it did Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I've set you as a watchman, and Ezekiel, if you don't go tell him, if you don't go warn, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to require the blood at your hand. That's what was driving me, because God had already given me my commission back when I was when he saved me. He said, Son of man, I have set you as a watchman to go, as a, over that Hutterite nation. And if you don't go warn them about the things that I show you, then you're going to have to, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to hold you responsible. And then he continued on, and he let me know what's going on, and then he got me to start up this website. He brings you on board, and now it's the two of us. It's because the Bible, everything goes back to the Bible, because the Bible says, woe unto him that walks alone. If he falls, he's got nobody to pick him up. But blessed is he that walks, that has somebody to walk with. And then the Lord brings you on board. Now it's the two of us, and we're blessed because we got each other to throw things on with. Like this morning, you asked me, what are you going to speak about today? I says, I don't know. Did the Lord show you anything? And then he said, yeah, he gave me a scripture today. And that's the very scripture that we needed today. About, it's a sheen that he has some, now to God. The grace of God has appeared to all men. And see, we work as a team. We're not trying to outdo each other. Sometimes I don't have nothing. Sometimes the Lord won't give me nothing. And then I say, Lorraine, did the Lord give you anything? And then I got up this morning and he gave me that scripture. Well, that's all we need. As long as it comes from the throne of God. What you got was direct from the throne of God. And like I say, sometimes he won't give me nothing because it's not a one-man show. We're not operating like a bunch of bullies trying to outdo each other here. We just have to depend on the Lord. Like I say, sometimes the Lord won't give me nothing to say. But see, we want to talk about things that's current. We want to talk about things that God is doing on this very day. And today, as he sends us, we're sending out the warning that the grace of God has appeared to everybody. Every human being on the face of this earth, the grace of God appeared. But what they do, they push it away. They join a church that'll tickle their ears. Everything they do, they can't. They're trying to do everything they can to reject that voice and that conscience. And so much that eventually they end up committing suicide and things like that. Or they go to the beer parlor. They go get drunk. Or they go into drugs. All they're doing that is to stifle that voice, that the grace of God in their lives, that voice that is trying to direct them down the path of righteousness. That's all they're doing. All that alcohol and all these drugs they're doing, they're stifling people, and then they get involved with the Olympics, and they get themselves caught up in sports. Everything is geared to just shut out that voice that's in your conscience. Just that simple. And people are doing wholesale. They're paying big money to quieten that conscience and that voice. And they go to churches that'll tickle their ears, just like it says in the Word about. They'll set up themselves preachers that'll tickle their ears. They'll tell them things that they want to hear. But one of them, I go on YouTube and I check them all out. I check them out to see if there's anybody to say anything about the message of the age, about the Church of Laodicea. Not one blip of nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing, not one mention about Brother Branham, not one mention about Brother Jackson, not one mention about here that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why we put it out there on a day-to-day basis for whosoever will. And now you can hear us. You only got one job description, and that is go and tell. That's the only job description you have for here in these closing days of time. Let him that hear it say come. It's your responsibility. If you want to do something for the Lord, just go and tell him what we're trying to tell you here. Because it's the only thing that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Like this church age messenger, they weren't your perfect people. Like when you will look at Martin Luther, they will say that he went to the bar and he went drinking. And then you come to John Wesley, and he had a very bad marriage. Mm-hmm. But he rode 250,000 miles on horseback preaching the gospel, and wrote thousands of sermons. And, you know, he really was on a mission. Mm-hmm. To spread the gospel and to teach the holy living, to live holy before God. And but he wasn't a perfect human being, but he had a message to preach. He had a purpose, and that's what he wanted to fulfill, that calling on his life. The same way with Brother Branham. A lot of people will find a lot of faults on him, but the one thing is for sure, that he was sent by God. He was a man sent by God. To be that the voice to turn us back to the faith of the early church. And the Brother Jackson only continued on that. Were they perfect people? No, they were not perfect people. But they were sent with a message. Mm-hmm. And that message was to turn us back to the faith of the early church. And that's like there's not many people out there that see the picture in its right perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you will listen to the Brenhamites, they will lift up Brother Brenham in a way that is the carnality of mm-hmm. the man. But we see the Spirit of God behind what God has been doing in the century. And the same way with Brother Jackson. That's why Brother Brenham, like he brought in church order. And Brother Jackson refused to put it in because he didn't see it in the Bible. And that's the very thing that Brother Brenham told Brother Jackson. There's things coming, fixing to happen. Like as soon as Brother Brenham was off the scene, the devil was at work, but Brother Jackson said, Brother Brenham said to Brother Jackson, stay with the Word of God. And that's going to be, like you can see that the Word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our pathway. If we don't have the Word of God to lead and guide us, then you will believe every voice that comes out there here. Like when I got Brother Brenham's book, the first thing I did, I took my Bible and see if these things were so.
Mm-hmm.
And I found them to be scripturally aligned. And then God forewarned me about it because when he gave me that scripture in Malachi, that he's going to send the spirit of Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the wrath of God is poured out on this planet. He's going to send the spirit of Elijah to turn us back mm-hmm. to the faith of the early church. And when I got that book and I realized this is that prophet that God sent to the church age of Laodicea. And that's all part of to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sure, the grace of God has appeared unto all men, but it's our duty to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If we don't, we will just be content with whatever somebody tells you.
Amen to that. There's a lot of people that we've affected throughout our journey here. There's a lot of people that know about us. There's a lot of people that listen to us from time to time. But then after a while, they got freedom of choice. After a while, they chill out. When I say chill out, they just cut us off and they don't listen to us anymore because we're saying things that it's pretty hard for them to digest that the things that we're saying, that God sent a prophet, that then an apostle, then he's using you and I to continue on with the program. People that know it, they don't believe that. And then, like I say, for a while they're listening, they're very faithful, but then they figure, well, they chill out, they go listen to something else, and then after a while, they're not listening to us anymore, and then they figure they'll be able to get away with it. But it's not, there will be no excuse for ignorance. It's just God's gonna still hold them accountable whether they listen or not, because there's the grace of God has appeared unto all men. And if you continue to go on in the Lord, and if you're concerned about your eternal destiny, the Lord will send you exactly right here where the truth is, because where the carcass is, the eagle's got. This is where the fresh manna is. This is where the message is for your day. And if you allow the Word of God to deal with you and to direct you, it'll lead you right, exactly right, to the mercy of the land. Because everyone that my Heavenly Father has given to me will come to me. Yes? If you have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, you will come to this here truth. It's just that simple. It's not our program. We don't have a program. Like you said, like I was saying, I got up this morning and he asked me, what are you going to talk about today? I said, I don't have nothing. Do you have something? And he said, well, I got up this morning, the Lord gave me a scripture. That is exactly what we're talking about, because this is God's program. It's not my program, it's not our program. It's just, we're just standing before the Lord, trying to do the level of best to be sensitive to his spirit so that he can lead and guide us with that of his eyes, and that's the program here. Now, I keep saying, I saw that this morning, all the job description, the only job description you have is to go and tell. Let them that hear say, come. Come to work. Come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come to this message here, these closing days of time. God always has a message. God always has a message. And here in these closing days of time, it just happens to be you and me. I didn't order this job. I didn't even know this job was available. But God saw something in us. He saw us steadfast. And he saw that we were going to persevere no matter what. And he gave us the responsibility. Because there's nobody out there that'll tell us the things that you and I are telling us. He put us through school. He educated us in the last 30, 40 years. And he brought us to the ministry, Brother Branham. There's nobody's going to talk to you about that Forest River guy, that boss of Forest River that had an out-of-the-body experience. In fact, when I found out what he was looking for, when I found out that God sent a prophet, I went right down there to that Forest River College and I talked to his boys about it. They didn't want to talk about it. And see, when I look back the other day, I wondered, Lord, why are we not getting anywhere? Because back then, that it reminded me of that man from Forest River College that had an out-of-the-body experience, and he went around and told his testimony to a lot of college, to all those that were giving him an ear, and then they kind of swept it under the rug. It went dead. It went dormant. Just like the message of Brother Brenham has gone dead and has gone dormant, and the message of Brother Jackson has gone dead and dormant, and we're the only two people that the call God found qualified to keep this thing alive. That's all we're doing. We're just holding on to the thing that has been firmly established through the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, I can say. They did a heavy lifting. We're just holding on to the things that have been firmly established because there's nothing else we're talking about. The Billy Graham stuff and the John Hagee stuff and the Benny Hinn stuff and all that evangelistic stuff is just Satan's weapons of mass deception. That Jimmy Swaggart and all these things, when the end of the day comes, it's just deception. And any Biscuits thing out there, that under the Brenham eye, they're convinced that Eddie Biscuit was the successor to Brother Brenham. He had a lot of charisma, but he's wrong. He did all he did was try to make sure that the people don't come to the understanding and sit under the ministry of Brother Jackson. And he spent all his life trying to prove that he's the man, and then they made sure that you don't come to him because they told him that Brother Jackson's nothing but a blackbird. And then people were turned off about what he was saying. He was luring people away from the real thing, just like if you ever go out in the spring of the year, out in the pasture, you see a killdeer, and what that killdeer does, he's got a nest over there somewhere, and what he does when you get close to the nest, he puts up a big fuss, and he pretends his foot is broken, or his wing is broken, and he does everything he can to lure you away from his nest. And that's exactly what Eddie Biscuit was. He was doing overtime to lure the people of this world back away from the fact that God sent Brother Jackson to be the successor to William Branham. And that's all the purpose was for Eddie Biscuit. And now he's gone, and people are left without. And we're just trying to revive it, and we're trying to get our foot in the door. I tried to talk to that John Stahl. I told him about Brother Jackson. and they put me out because of that. They won't talk to me anymore after that. And see, that's just our job, and we're persevering. We're doing everything that we know to do to keep this thing alive, and that's the only job description you have. And that's the only job description anybody that hears it has, is to go and tell. And you're going to find out if you do that, you're going to be blessed. God's going to bless you. He's going to bless your offspring. He's going to bless your whole family structure simply because you're standing for something, for a truth here in these closing days of time. I don't know how else to say it. I'm trying to make it so simple that even a child can understand it. All that religious stuff, all that evangelistic stuff out there is nothing but tables of vomit. It just absolutely does not benefit anybody for the closing days of time. They won't tell you about Brother Branham. They won't tell you about Brother Jackson. They won't tell you about that invitation to marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you want to know the real crux of the invitation to marriage supper of the Lamb, just go read Matthew 22, and it's going to tell you exactly what's going to happen to these people that rejecting the very thing, that rejecting that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said he's going to send his armies out, and he's going to kill these murderers and burn down their cities. It's that small thing to the Lord to just go on there and burn down their churches. That's what's happening all around the world, where these people come in and they're nothing but they're servants of God, because God said He'll send in His servants to do that. And it's just, the country is ripe for God's judgment. That's all we're saying. And we're just trying to give people an escape route, an exit route out of this hell that's coming. Because just up the road, here's that great tribulation. Just up the road, there's the day of the Lord, the shaking of all things. It's just up the road here, just within reach here. Now, you're doing our level best to warn people. But it's up to the individual. If he doesn't want to take a warning, fine. If not, well, it'll just going to have to suffer the consequences. Like we've been saying here for the last, beating the drums here for 40 years about that everything that we're warning people about the coming of the Lord. And if people listen, fine. If not, well, like I say, they'll have to suffer the consequences.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before You, Lord, and we're so grateful, Lord, that You allowed us to get to know You and Your Word, Lord, so that we can call You our Heavenly Father, because You want Your creation to get to know You, Lord, and we got to know You through Your Word, and that You sent the prophet to turn our hearts back to the faith of the early church, Lord, and if all people can have access to that, and they can believe, Lord, what we're saying, because we just got it from that church age messenger, Lord, and that church age messenger got it from that angel, Lord, that it's represented in the right hand of Jesus in the book of Revelation. We're going by Your word, Lord, and we just want to let people know, Lord, that they can be partakers of Your blessings, Lord. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.